Chapter 30. Just Keep Swimming. A dim gray sky stretched over still water and a weak sun hung behind faint clouds. The forbidden forest loomed beyond, a thicket of dark spine... A thicket of dark pines and shadows, and a low stand ran round the lake shore beside it. For no fucking reason, because no one can see that shit anyway, that was the stupidest idea. Don't we see, like, in the movie, don't we just see, like, fucking bleachers? Like, there's just bleachers, right? Like, you don't see, like, a big bubble that, like, you know, shows what's happening inside. It would be so easy to fucking do. Like, I can get maybe Rowling not mentioning how it worked, but in the movie, it's like, it looks so stupid. They just dive in, and it's like, oh, man. Like, they can watch the first task was fine. You know, like, that's everyone could see that just fine. And, the second task to an extent, I guess, but, like, not really that well, you know. No, that's really, yeah, it's like the hedges, you know. Which is why, like, but, like, if people could see what was going on in the second task, or in the third task, then, why were things not immediately put to a stop when, Crumb began crucioing Fleur? Which is something that definitely did actually happen. It's almost as though no real precautions were put in place to protect the students at all. I am getting this distracted. Oh, actually, I found out, Matt, that I did not... come up with all of my fix for Quidditch myself. The concept of the keeper being the only one who's allowed to catch the snitch is actually from Quidditch Through the Ages, but not the concept of it not counting, like, not scoring any points, and you know, the concept of the snitch only appearing when a team is ahead and stuff like that, you know, things that would make a lot of sense and work just fine. Well, that's the thing. It's like, It just strains credibility so much that any of it works. It's like I just listen. Okay, one of my biggest Harry Potter guilty pleasures is the Quidditch Through the Ages audiobook. I really fucking like it. I really, really like the World Cup coverage at the end. It's a lot of fun. The girl that plays Ginny in it is really, like, she has a great fucking voice. But it's like, you see Crumb catching the snitch at the end, right? It's the first time he's won the World Cup, and it's big and emotional, and, like, so he catches the snitch, and it's like there's tears streaming down his face, and it's like, okay, I watch tennis sometimes, and when you play tennis, you are basically doing intense physical exercise for, like, 5 fucking hours, and there you have no idea who's going to win until the very, very last point. So you see guys win championships, and they drop to their fucking knees, and there's tears streaming down their face, and they do like hug the other guy. It's described like he like Crumb and the other Seeker hug each other. The game lasts for like 2.5 hours, I think, which is like it isn't actually because the coverage doesn't last for that long, but they say it's 2.5 hours. Fair enough, you know, movie magic or whatnot. But it's like you were just sitting on a stick for 2.5 hours, doing nothing. Your broom was doing all of the fucking work. You were not fighting that whole time. And it's just like it's how? Well, clearly there's magic that compensates for that. But it's like it wouldn't be hard to stay on because the magic would just keep you on it, and like the top of the line racing broom would, yeah, there is no fucking point. It also isn't Uncomfortable Hellion. That there's like canonically there's like cushioning charms and stuff, which like it makes it so that you're sitting on like a cushion of air or whatever. But it's like, yep. Yeah. You know, something else? One of the rules of Quidditch, according to Quidditch Through the Ages, any spell being cast on one of the players by anyone, including fans, during a game, results in the other team's disqualification. Would not every single fucking match end that way? I know you fucking British footy fans, okay? Like that shit every single fucking game. And it's even says like even if, you know, the team did not encourage or approve of the spell being cast, then they still get disqualified. That's not how people work, you fucking idiots. Like, that's not... And she didn't write Quidditch Through the Ages until, like, a while after the books were all out. I'm sure she had people telling her, like, okay, look, this is how sports work. Yeah, because it's like... Yeah, because it's like, oh my god.
You know, girls, I've been enjoying Quidditch much more since Hermione taught me the vibration spell.
Okay, I'm going to continue reading the fan fiction. I got one paragraph and two sentences in. Let's go at a slightly larger, faster rate.
Are all the champions here yet, Ludo?
Mr. Crouch strode along the shore. His stark black robes and tight, high white collar stood... His stark black robes and tight, high white collar stood out like a vicar at a yard sale.
Not yet, Barty, Bagman grinned. We're one short, but if they're late then, they just lose some of their time.
Well, we aren't waiting then, Ludo. Mr. Crouch clapped his hands. Tell these three about the task.
Right then, Bagman boomed. I'm Brian Blessed. Welcome to the second task of the Triwizard Tournament. Naturally, you're all...
Actually, Ludo, Professor Crouch... Mr. Crouch stepped in front of Bagman. If you don't mind, I'll explain. Perhaps you can find Professor McGonagall. A glint of anger appeared in Bagman's eyes.
Of course, Barty.
Bagman walked off.
I've been Brian Blessed!
Mr. Crouch cleared his throat. The second task is upon you. I hope you have discovered the secret of your golden egg, or you'll be or you will be woefully unprepared for what is to come.
Unprepared?
Harry threw a glance at Cedric and Victor.
I'm going to win.
As the clue states, we have taken from you something that you... We have taken from you something that you will surely miss. We have taken from you something that you will sorely miss. To clarify, we have taken a hostage that you must recover.
Cedric stiffened.
Cho. You took Cho for a game.
Mr. Crouch snapped his fingers at Cedric.
Okay, here's actually a question. Why did Crouch take over from Bagman? Because it makes sense given the voice I do for him, but I'm not sure why in the text. Oh, so it's like he's expecting maybe a little bit of that to happen. No, yeah. Okay. I like the notion, though, that it's just like, hello, I'm going to tell you about the try, was it? Okay, no, never mind, Bagman. I've got it. Go away. You know, like...
Mr. Crouch snapped his fingers at Cedric. To alleviate confusion, as some of you may know, the hostage... To alleviate confusion, as some of you may know the hostages of other champions, Ludo will tell you who your hostage is. You are not to interfere with the hostages of the other champions while they are being kept hostage, or afterwards. Would you like me to maybe replace the second hostage? You are not to interfere with the hostages of the other champions while they... You are not to... Yes, that's what I was going to do. It's like, it's fine in the text. When you say it out loud, it sounds dumb. You are not to interfere with the... You are not to interfere with the hostages of the other champions. No. You are not to interfere with the hostages of the other champions while they are being kept captive, or afterward. Or afterwards.
Harry nodded. Makes sense. Can't have someone killing the other hostages or something to make sure the other champions fail.
Bagman returns to the fore, accompanied by Professor McGonagall and all three head teachers.
Steel just!
Fleur Delacour skidded to a halt beside Harry. Panic glimmered in her sky-blue eyes.
Good.
Harry stamped down on the stab of pity and the urge to help.
No more playing hero just to feel real. I'm here to win. If she's distracted, she'll be easier to read. My apologies.
What? What did I say? Fuck did I say that? Okay, yeah.
If she's distracted, she'll be easier to beat. My apologies, Fleur gasped. I was unable to find my sister to say goodbye this morning. Gabrielle's her hostage.
Harry smothered another stab of pity.
I wonder who they chose for me. I wasn't Ron or Hermione.
Bagman's grin faded.
Well, now we're all here. I'll inform you each who your hostage is. I'll inform you each who your hostage is.
Fleur's eyes darkened and a faint heat washed over Harry's side. She's realized now.
Mr. Lacour, as you might have gathered, your hostage is your younger sister, Gabrielle Delacour. Mr. Diggory, you are searching for your girlfriend, Cho Chang. Mr. Crumb was originally going to be looking for a friend and Quidditch teammate, but he is taken ill, and so you will be going after Hermione Granger instead. Mr. Potter...
Bagman flashed Harry a grin.
Your hostage is the lovely Miss Bell.
A laugh burst through Harry's lip despite his best efforts. He is being serious, Mr. Potter, McGonagall snapped. Miss Bell was the only one willing to risk herself being your hostage in this task. Without her, you would have been unable to compete and fallen far behind. A little ice crept into Harry's veins. It wasn't like I was going to refuse to save her, Professor. It seems like I owe her. He turned away and looked out over the lake. Dark water lapped at the shore. Algae drifted from the pebbles, and the shadows of lake plants floated beyond. Harry dipped a toe in the water and grimaced. This is going to be unpleasant. Fleur smiled, and Cedric's mouth spasmed. Fleur. Victor chuckled and extended his hands to Harry.
Ooh, I don't think I got that line. Okay, let's do it then.
First to get caught by these squid wins, da?
Probably good enough. That's a little too Frenchy.
First to get caught by these squid wins, da? Da, da?
I won't pretend to have ever understood the tiniest bit of distinctions between all of those da's. Yeah, I guess I missed it somehow. It could be in there. I just forgot about it, but I don't think so.
Well, the Crindylows. Harry clasped Victor's hand. Whatever else is down there.
On my whistle!
No. On my whistle. Mr. Crouch pulled a slim, silver thing out of his pocket and out to his lips. Nope. Mr. Crouch pulled a slim, silver thing out of his pocket and held it out to his lips. Probably not. Mr. Crouch pulled a slim, silver thing out of his pocket and held it up to his lips.
That you'll need to change that to whatever you want there. It is not right.
Harry and the others tugged off their robes, standing around in their swimwear, standing about in their swimwear, casting warming charms. The whistle went. Fleur pulled a slim veil up over her mouth and nose, tied it, and dove into the lake. Harry watched her silver bikini arc into the water, then vanish from sight with a tight knot in his chest.
Is she really wearing a fucking bikini? Would that not be not what you would want to wear for this? Hellion, weigh in. If you had to go save your sister from like crazy shit in the fucking lake, would you wear a bikini or a one piece? The fuck is neoprene? I mean, look, bikini is what the man said, but seriously, Matt? Matt left. Oh, there he is again. Hello, Matt. Yes. Is Fleur really going to be wearing a fucking bikini and not like a one piece like a sane person would wear? Fine. Yeah, she's wearing a silver bikini that was woven out of her hair. She's actually Bayonetta. It's like, you know, the farther out she presses her allure, the more her clothes vanish.
Fly me to the moon.
Yoink. Less lament. That's going to be a major, major side arc in that. Christ Jesus.
Harry watched her silver bikini arc into the water and then vanish from sight with a tight knot in his chest.
I added the "and," but I think the sentence actually does need it. I'm not sure. It at least needs a comma if it doesn't have an "and," actually. After water. Harry watched her silver bikini arc into the water, and I said, "and then vanished from sight with a tight knot in his chest." You need a comma regardless, but yeah, okay.
Harry watched her silver bikini arc into the water, then vanished from sight with a tight knot in his chest. That makes sense. Okay. Cedric dropped feet first into the water, his face and neck enclosed within a vibrating bubble.
Ooh.
No more wasting time. Harry pictured his transfiguration and cast his magic. His breath failed and he staggered toward the water. Crumbs sprinted past him, gills gaped on the side of his neck, and his skin faded to a dull blue-gray. Har plunged into the ice-cold water. Harry plunged into the ice-cold water. A great flood of relief filled him as his... A great flood of relief filled him as his lungs filled. A great flood of relief washed through him as his lungs filled. Success! He cast a sticking charm to fix his glasses on his nose and swam down toward where Salazar remembered the merpeople's village to be. Long, light green weeds rose up from the lake bed, billowing like summer grass in the wind. Grindylow habitat. Harry stayed well above the plants. Nobody wants to get groped by one of those ugly things. But Hellion's thinking about it. The green weeds gave way to thick, black mud as Harry passed by the sunken wreckage of a ship. The giant squid's bulbous form drifted between the two halves of the broken vessel. Its tentacles trailed out across the lake bed. Nobody wants to get groped by one of those ugly things, but Hellion's thinking about it. And I'll give that a wide berth, too. A pale figure appeared in the distance, drifting in the same direction as Harry, but at a slower pace. He drew his wand as he came alongside the pearl-white figure of a short girl with round, thick-rimmed glasses. Metal? he burbled.
Okay, note to self. Due to effects. I think I have an effect I used in Alexander Quick that'll work. I'll write for this. I used it for, when someone was communicating with somebody far away by projecting their image to the surface of a pond the other person was looking at. That the preset's actually saved as water talk in my scripts.
Harry! Her voice echoed through the water as if it were air. You look better now, much happier. Are you searching for the mer people too?
Note yourself, don't put the same effect on hers, just do it normal, ghost.
He nodded. Cedric was as well. They're that way. She waved one arm in the direction Salazar had suggested. Good luck. Harry smiled and waved, then swam on. The mud turns to rock. Dark gray columns loomed up over the lake bed. Weed-free monoliths bearing strange, deep-etched symbols. Faint snatches of the merpeople's singing reached Harry's ears. Half my time is gone. He kicked harder. And if the clue's to be believed, Katie's not going anywhere unless I find her before the other half runs out. A deafening pop struck him like a hammer. His ears rang and his vision blurred. Harry shook his head and peered around. Dust rose from the lake bed in great clouds, swirling around the feet of the monoliths. A shimmer rippled away across the lake past his feet. Someone else is close by. Harry clutched his wand and swam forward over the great stone columns. Someone had just cast quite a powerful spell. A pair of figures floated above him, still as stone, bobbing with the water of the lake as they sank. A horde of battered Grindylows scattered away beneath it. A pair of figures floated above him, bobbing with the water of the lake as they sank. A horde of battered Grindylows scattered away beneath it. Fine, dark hair. Cho and Cedric. A Grindylow must have somehow punctured the bubblehead charm. Harry kicked himself closer and found a thick stream of bubbles rising from the shrinking orb of air surrounding Cedric's face. At least he tweaked the charm enough to stop his skull crumpling when it burst. Hominum Revelio, Harry garbled. Cedric and Cho lit up red. In the distance, Harry glimpsed two more red figures, one far off to his right, and the other close in front of him. He wrapped an arm around Cedric and Cho and kicked up, but their weight dragged him down toward the lake bed until his feet grazed the monolith. Harry shoved them above him and cast a weak blasting curse. Cho and Cedric shot up through the water toward the surface. That'll do it. Someone will fish them out when they break the surface. He swam on, glimpsing a cluster of dark stone huts beyond the dwindling monoliths. A crowd of merpeople gathered around the ring of standing stones raised just beyond the edge of their huts. Their copper scales glimmered in the water. Translucent webbing joined sharp-clawed fingers and toes into fins, and small, dark eyes tracked his approach. Intelligent enough, but not overly friendly. Harry recalled Salazar's recollection with some unease. Godric said he befriended them, but I distinctly recall him needing to have tridents pulled out of him on several occasions. 12 black monoliths sat in a ring around a stone altar, decorated with pieces of red and white coral and long, thin, sharp-fanged skulls. The furthest,
The furthest 3 stone pillars bore human figures, enshrouded in the faint red glow of Harry's fading revealing charm. He dove down toward the ring of monoliths. Victor knifed from between two of the monoliths beneath him. A shark's head upon his shoulders. Harry froze, drifting above Victor as he paused before Hermione and struggled with the knotted kelp binding her to the pillar. "He's a faster swimmer than I am." Harry cast an eye at Victor's muscled torso. "Probably a lot faster. And Fleur's probably somewhere nearby, too." He raised his wand. "Incarcerus," he burbled. Thin black bindings shot from the tip of his wand. They tangled Victor's arms and legs. They misspelled his name. "Sorry, Victor." Harry glanced around him as the merpeople flashed for cover. "But if I hang around here until you've gone, then Fleur will probably turn up and just enthrall me. At least I have a chance against you." Victor cut himself free with what looked like a cutting charm, then released a handful of jets of water that hissed past Harry. Harry swam behind one of the monoliths as a barrel. Harry swam behind one of the monoliths as a barrage of spells sailed at him. Victor abandoned Hermione, swimming up above Harry. His spells flashed through the lake, but burst against the monoliths or drifted off into the distance. Harry dragged himself round the far side of the monolith and cut the kelp off Katie as Victor twisted round in the water overhead. Another barrage of spells hissed down at him. They hammered into the monolith, chipping pieces off its side. Dust clouded the air. Pieces of weed and algae floated across Harry's vision. "Damn!" He kicked upward and out of the dust, casting every single one of the childish school corridor jinxes he knew.
What did I say? Jesus.
Dust clouded the water. Pieces of weed and algae floated across Harry's vision. "Damn!" He kicked upward and out of the dust, casting every single one of the childish school corridor jinxes he knew. Victor tried to throw himself out of the way, but the jelly legs jinx and the dancing jinx struck him on the side. His limbs swayed like tentacles. Then Victor raised his wand and they fell still. A steely glint entered his eyes. A single ray of hot water flashed past Harry's shoulder. The monolith shattered like a dropped glass. The glowing pieces floated down into the lake bed like falling stars. A slight shiver traced its way down Harry's spine. "Perhaps I should have waited and lost to Fleur. At least I might have gotten another kiss." A hail of colored lights flashed through the water. A hail of colored lights flashed through the water from the tip of Victor's wand. Harry twisted and writhed, casting the shield charm. Washes of colored light burst on the glow of his ward. He swept his wand at the pebbles underneath Crumb's position, transfiguring them into a small school of snake-like fish. Victor vanished into the shoal, and Harry grinned. Not completely one-sided, at least. A giant stone hand seized him round the waist. A shock of adrenaline ripped through Harry's veins. Transfiguration was his solution, too.
Harry shattered the arm with a quick blasting curse and banished the pieces at Victor. He followed them with a handful of jinxes and the disarming charm. Victor turned the stones to dust and deflected the curses away with his shield. Several yellow jets of water hissed from his wand. "Protego," Harry burbled. Three burst through his shield. One drew a line of fire through his tricep. Harry clapped a hand to the wound. Red drifted through the water between his fingers. Victor stared at him with hard eyes and pointed down at the lake bed with his free hand. A pair of meter-deep holes marked the stone beneath Harry's feet. Victor gestured at the hostages with his left hand, then waggled his wand with his right. "Fair warning," Harry's respect for Victor rose a few notches. "Still, I came to win," he grinned and raised his wand. A broad smile spread across Victor's face, and he launched four more yellow curses at... A broad smile spread across Victor's face, and he launched four more yellow curses at him. A broad smile spread across Victor's face, and he launched four more yellow curses. They sailed past Harry's waist and shoulder, boring a series of holes into the monolith behind him. Harry thrust his wand at Victor. It slipped from his grasp and floated away down toward the lake bed. Victor gaped, then twisted round and hurled spells off to Harry's right. "Blah." Harry launched himself after his wand. "Time to go. They can duel while I swim back." He snatched his wand up and kicked around the edge of the pillar. "And I'll win." Fleur and Victor exchanged jets of water. Shield charms flickered between them. Half of Victor's spells seemed to fade out of existence before even reaching Fleur, whose silver bikini glowed bright as moonlight.
To the moon.
Harry tore his eyes away from Fleur. "They're pretty evenly matched. Let's give them an obstacle to keep them busy while I go." Harry summoned the kelp away from Katie, then took a deep breath and transfigured the lake bed beneath them both into towering spines of stone. He grimaced as the cost of the spell sapped the strength from him. Fleur flinched and shattered the spires beneath her. The backlash threw Victor and her apart. Their spells sprayed in all directions. A yellow curse caught her full in the chest, tearing her bikini top off. "Well, that's a win for the nipple quotient." Face. Red cloud of the... What's the actual text? I see. A yellow curse caught her full in the face. Red cloud of the water about her trailing... Red cloud of the water about her trailing silver hair. No, Harry froze. It drifted away through the water. She's dead. Ice tightened inside Harry's chest. She can't have survived that spell if it hit her in the face. Can she? Fleur twitched. Then pulled her hair away from her eyes. Fleur, Fleur twitched, then pulled her hair away from her eyes. Her lips were swollen, her chin red and bruised, and a long cut marred her cheek. Her veil hung in tatters around her neck. A small plume of bubbles rose from it.
"She's still beautiful."
Harry shook his head to clear it of Fleur's allure.
"Now, fool me once, shame on you. I don't repeat my mistakes."
Fleur clenched her jaw and dove down toward the monoliths.
She's going after her sister.
Harry and Victor shared a glance, then put their wands away. Fleur's bubbles ran out. She twisted round and shot Harry a pleading look. Raw emotion shone in her blue eyes. His heart lurched. Harry struggled against the rising feeling, but his desire to help her flooded over him like dawn's light spilling over the horizon.
I would have saved her if you just asked, Fleur.
I would happily have helped the girl who promised she was different. Harry tried to claw some hate from somewhere. His need to help her twisted in his chest like a blade.
Her law's too bloody strong.
Fleur jabbed her wand upward and descended out of sight. Victor disappeared out of sight. Hermione cradled underneath his transfigured maw. Harry dived back down toward the monoliths, grabbing Katie's arm and pulling her into his chest. Gabrielle Delacour bobbed against the final monolith. He tried to tear himself free of the need to save her, but Fleur's bright blue eyes and the taste of her lips swirled through Harry's thoughts like a hurricane. His heart wrenched.
I would have saved her anyway.
Harry severed Gabrielle's bonds.
Fleur didn't even need to ask, let alone do this to me.
Pulled around him, a ball of copper scales and claws that bristled with tridents. Harry narrowed his eyes and raised his wand, pulling the silver-haired girl into his embrace next to Katie. The nearest of the merpeople jabbed his trident at the girl and shook his head, raising a single claw.
"We hate Vila. They must all die. Unless you agree to form some kind of weird lolly harem."
No, I did catch myself first on the last one. I saw him type this one in real time in front of me.
"Only one," it sang. Only one, it sang. "Only one."
Nah, that's stupid. I'm not going to sing it. Because I would have to do it for all of it. I've done that before. I did it look, do you want me to sing all of it? I will. I just think it might be a little goofy. Yeah, the last time I did that in you see, when I first started doing it now, I thought that was the only line. I did that in Lands Below with Conversation, because like what was singing was like weird, like Alice in Wonderland style, like corn plants. God, Wicked, you are the king of weird ass takes. Okay. You are the weirdest dude. You really are. I love it. I love it so much.
Only one, it sang. Only one. Only one. Harry transfigured their tridents into fish and watched them scatter away. You can try and stop me, he garbled. You will lose, the merperson sang. Would you lose for this little stranger? I would. She doesn't deserve to drown down here. Harry swallowed a bitter taste. Harry swallowed a bitter taste and a hot lump of feeling. But I'm not. Fleur didn't give me a choice. I'm losing for her. We are many. Another merperson swam from the ball, flexing his claws. You are one. You are young. If we wished, we could kill you. Swim away, landwalker. Harry wrestled with the memory of Fleur's quiet goodbye. I can't let them stop me, no matter what I have to do. You will try!
No, that's not, that isn't the line.
You could try. He thrust his wand at them and poured every drop of magic into his banishing spell. A vast ripple flashed from his wand, scattering merpeople across the lake. It tore through the lake bed like a tsunami, shattering the standing stone, altar, and its surrounding monoliths. The stone huts were ripped away like Dudley's toys, and dust clouded the water so thick Harry's lungs strained.
I think that's correct.
And dust clouded the water so thickly Harry's lungs strained to breathe. A slick copper taste crept up into the back of his throat. Pain lanced through his chest.
You know, semicolon there, homeboy.
Something in my gills is damaged. Harry breathed a cloud of red and dust out into the water. Not good. He glanced at the ragged group of merpeople, then lashed Katie and Gabrielle to his back with a quick spell, and launched himself in the direction of the shore. End of chapter...
Fuck, what was this chapter?
It was... End of chapter 30.